He's got a beautiful backswing.
Dad, oh, he got all of that one.
Oh my gosh.
That is amazing.
Layup with an iron into the hazard.
Oh my God, you had to deal with the golf course people too!
Well, that wasn't quite what I meant, you know?
Welcome into another edition of the 73rd Hole. Colby Powell and Taylor Williams with you here on a Tuesday. Yeah, it's a little bit of a weird week due to some scheduling conflicts. We're recording one episode for you on Tuesday of this week. One of those scheduling conflicts is the conflict between the PGA Tour and Good Golf, which we did not see a ton of in Punta Cana. But shout out to Hudson Swafford. I should not diminish at all what he accomplished. It was a phenomenal win, his first since 2017, I believe. So it's been a long grind for Hudson Swafford, who, when he was young and he was up and coming, Taylor, seemed like, you know, he's going to have a really good PGA Tour career, and he's kind of battled to keep himself in the mix. So it was a big, big win for Hudson Swafford as it gets him all of the regular exemptions that are due to PGA Tour winners. So congratulations to him.
Yeah, two years of essentially having a job secured, which is, I mean, I think for anyone out there on the tour, that is really honestly as good as it gets besides winning a major championship.
And actually, because of the COVID exemption, I think it's basically 3 years. Because the way the schedule's working out, since he won at the very beginning of this season, he's now exempt for the rest of 2020 and 2021, and then he's exempt for 22, 23, and 23, 24. Pardon me, 21, 22, and 22, 23. So
that's a long time.
Essentially, it's a three full season exemption because he won so early in the wraparound schedule.
Yeah, and that, like I said, it has to give you that type of comfort. We see it. Occasionally, we bring up names all the time, like Jim Herman, who actually ended up winning a few weeks ago, but he kind of goes through a two-year period where after you get that win, then you start seeing some bad golf, and then they'll kind of bring it back around, or they just fall off the plan and you never hear from them again. But Hudson Swafford, you mentioned it, Colby, is coming out one of those young guns. He, Georgia, one of the best golf programs in the nation. You know, he was a Georgia Bulldog coming out with Harry English. You know, there's
probably right there competing for the second best college golf program in the country.
Yeah, exactly. There's a big college tournament. The result, they're not finished yet down at Colonial. I believe OSU, OU, Baylor, Coach McGraw's down there coaching in that. So that's a very big collegiate tournament. The results aren't finished yet, but we'll see if they are when we get done with
the show. I thought OU Golf posted a video a while ago with a trophy.
Then they might have won it then. Then they might be already done.
I'll look it up. Anyway, finish your point.
Yeah, so nevertheless, getting back to Hudson Swafford, whenever you talk about, he was one of those guys coming up, and with great program, he gets kind of associated with some other guys. But whenever I think of Hudson Swafford, it's that famous video that went around when he's making that that practice swing behind the ball, and he hits a chunk, and the chunk of the divot goes out and hits the ball, and the ball rolls like 3 feet.
Yep.
That's every, I mean, every time you see Hudson Swafford, that's what, at least what I think about. And so I guess, you know, maybe this will transcend him over the thing of where he's just no longer a golf meme anymore. But no, Hudson's a great player and has been a great player for a long time. He's one of those guys that kind of, I think he might even have more wins now or as many wins as Charles Hallett, but kind of similar to him where he's more miscuttish than him. Charles Hallett last week was my guaranteed made cut in DraftKings and did not make the cut, but I'm just kind of throwing him into that mold of a guy who kind of flies under the radar because a lot of times he's not at the top of the leaderboards, but even when he's hit or miss, he's, you know, making a check more times than he's not, at least from what it seems like.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, Oklahoma Golf OU did win the Big 12 preview at Colonial, and Logan McAllister got his second individual title. So he won as an individual, and OU won as a team to get the college golf season
kicked
off.
Do you have the leaderboard there?
I do not have the full leaderboard here. Nope, I've just got – I went to OU's Twitter just for a quick look to see if they won the tournament. But it was the Big 12 preview, so I'm assuming
at Colonial. So, I mean, that had to be – you know, that's such a phenomenal golf course. It was the first course from when we came back from the COVID break.
Yeah, so, it was the restart down where – what's his face?
The Cheeseburger one.
Yeah, Cheeseburger won, and Spieth actually had a decent performance.
The last time Spieth played well at all, I think. And
here we go. OU, Texas, Texas Tech, Baylor, TCU, Kansas State, then Oklahoma State, and then you a massive drop off in strokes to get to West Virginia and Iowa State way down at the bottom.
Okay, so it was the Big 12 preview, so it's those 12 schools right there, and so
10,
yeah. or 10 schools,
Big 12, yeah, 10 12, schools yeah.
yeah, and then you have the Big 10, which is like 14, and they actually changed the Pac 10 to the Pac 12, but nevertheless, it can be confusing on that end. But yeah, so shout out
to you. Won by 6 shots, by the way, over Texas.
Man, yeah, and so you know we talk about OSU all the time here on golf programs, and Coach Hibble down there at OU, I mean, he's staking a claim for, you know, making them best in the country. I mean, they won national title 3 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago now. And I mean, whenever you're talking about college golf, I think it's hard to find two better programs. I mean, maybe a few years ago you could say Georgia and Augusta State in the same geographical state, but as for college golf, OU and OSU, I think it's hard to find two better programs inside. I mean, obviously California or Texas, just because they're 5 times the size of Oklahoma. But
right, you have a ton of schools. You can go out to California, and you got Cal, Stanford, UCLA, USC. You got just tons of schools up and down the coast out there.
Yeah, and when we're talking about, you know, moderate states, when you think, you know, just some, you know, Oklahoma's not a state when, you know, like you're a foreigner and you think, oh, well, you know, like Texas associated with Western, New York City, all these other things. But when you think about just regular states, I mean, to have I consider probably two of the top 5 programs, college golf programs, maybe 10 at worst, in all honesty, especially over the last decade. And it's been it's really great to see that OU has been able to transcend that and keep that going on. And also, I know Coach McGraw's got a good program down there. We had him on for one of our interviews earlier whenever the COVID had started and shut everything down. And we know that he's got a very talented team. He had a couple of his seniors return to his roster. So shout out to him, and hopefully they can keep their seasons going as well. But you know, getting back to the PGA Tour tournament.
Well, real quick, just one last thing on the college golf. I'm just, OU going into kind of the last day, they had a big lead over Kansas State, and it was nice to see that they didn't blow it, because that would have just been really disheartening.
That's a low blow, Colby. That's a low blow.
Is it too soon? It's been 3 days.
It's same story, different year as an OU fan. We got a golf podcast. I could go on for 10 hours about OU football, and it's.
I knew I was going to get us down a rabbit hole. I couldn't resist.
No, I know you can't. But it is what it is, and but so yeah, no. At least OU can beat Kansas State at something, because it damn sure ain't football.
Yes. But they got it done on the golf course. So yeah, back to Punta Cana. You had Will Zalatoris in our
backdoor top 10.
Did backdoor top 10. Had the round of the day on Sunday, a 7-under 65, which in those conditions is pretty solid, because the wind got blowing pretty good. I took Pat Perez, because in our big pool, I'm quite a ways behind, so I needed to pick somebody nobody else would have, and hope he flashed. He really didn't. He finished T21, which isn't terrible. It's not like I ran out Chucky three sticks and he missed the cut or something, but yeah, Pat Perez didn't get the job done too well. And I would have won our DraftKings pool that we're in. I had the lead all week, 6 made cuts. I had Anirban Lahiri as my cheap option, and he ended up finishing T6. But some jackass in our DraftKings pool picked Hudson Swafford.
Wow, gotcha.
Oh, what's going on? Who picked Hudson Swafford? I've got a bone to pick.
Hell of a pick. Talk about value play.
You talk about a value play. It was like 67 or 6,800. I think it was 6,700 on DraftKings.
That's
won the tournament. It was 200-1.
That would have been a nice bet to throw 10 bucks on or 100 bucks on, or anything. Like, I saw, you know, we talk about rabbit holes here. I saw a deal where last night a guy had a $1,000 wager on Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. Did you see that? To score the first touchdown, 36-1, won 36K on a $1,000 bet. That's pretty intense. So, I mean, if you find those flyers out there, man, like a Hudson Swafford, 200-1, that's saying something. I mean, it can pay off good, but there's a reason they're 200-1, because, you know, it doesn't happen all the time.
Doesn't happen very often. But what I thought was really interesting was through 3 rounds, Adam Long, as the overnight leader, was basically even money to win the golf tournament. He shot a final round 75, ends up finishing solo 5th. So a little bit of a disappointing performance for Adam Long. But of course, Mackenzie Hughes ended up being the most picked player in our big pool. And Mackenzie Hughes finishes solo 3rd, final round 70. Played really good golf. It was good pick by a lot of people. Now, because the purse was so small, it's not a huge money difference, but I mean, he got about 270. Let's see what a solo third was. 276,000. So the jump from there to like Will Zalatoris, where you were at, Zalatoris had 117,000. And then to get all the way down to Pat Perez, where I was at, was 39,000. So still pretty significant jump there.
No, it is. Yeah. So my philosophy of going with the most pick would have worked had I went the guy with everyone most went with, because in our big pool, more people had Mackenzie Hughes than Zalatoris, which I thought
it really shocked me.
It did. It did. Maybe people were on the same train that you were, Cole, and even I was, honestly, to an extent. We just thought that he'd be tired and not out there ready to play. And Mackenzie Hughes had been playing extremely well up until this point and had success on that venue and that that type of grass, Colby, like you were talking about so much last week. And that seemed to work on your DraftKings. You had 6 for 6 made cuts there. And but, yeah, so for going back to the Adam Long thing, it looked like that he really just got off to a bad start on there. It looked like he was quite a few over on the front nine especially. And then once he got there, just wasn't able to get it back. And, you know, for Adam Long, he's a guy, like you mentioned, kind of going along with Hudson Swafford this year. He won at, I'm going to keep calling it the Bob Hope, the Career Builder, whatever it was, 2 years ago. So he was in that same boat where he got that 2-year exemption. And then he kind of started to fizzle out a little bit. But then, as we've seen over the last few years, I believe he finished 13th at the U.S. Open, top 20. I know he played well there and then had some other high finishes to end the year. So he was a guy who, like we mentioned, Hudson Swafford type, where he might fall off a little bit, but then he's getting it back. So it'd been interesting to see translating, you know, Hudson Swafford and Adam Long, who I think are kind of comparable in their styles, not really their style of play, but kind of their careers and how they've gone. But yeah, for Adam Long, it'll be interesting to see if he can rebound from that or if, because whenever you've had this that one win and then you've kind of fallen up, but then you're getting your game back, he was in position to win again and then faltered really big. So is this something that's going to linger on him for a long time, no pun intended, or is it going to be something he brushes off and is able to come back and keep playing the good form that he had before that final round?
Yep, absolutely. So moving on from Punta Cana and looking ahead, obviously this week we've got the Sanderson Farms Championship, but we do know who's going to be in the field at some of the bigger tournaments in October. Obviously, we've got the CJ Cup, typically held in South Korea, and the Zozo Championship, typically held in Japan, started last year. Tiger, the defending champion, have both moved to California because of the COVID-19 pandemic. So CJ Cup is the 15th through the 18th of October, and then the Zozo is a week later at Sherwood. Of course, the CJ Cup is at Shadow Creek in Vegas, which is where Tiger and Phil played their match a couple years ago, the one that Phil won with the goofy little playoff hole off the putting green and all that good stuff. So we do know some of the names that are going to be there. Tiger is going to be defending at Zozo. Does not appear that he's going to be playing the CJ Cup, so we'll likely see Tiger one more time before the Masters. The Zozo 2 weeks prior to the Masters, so that's usually how Tiger likes to kind of space it out. So we'll see him one more time. But some of the other names that we'll see, Dustin Johnson is going to be at Shadow Creek for the CJ Cup. Bryson DeChambeau, U.S. Open champion, will be there for the first time as a major champion. Defending champion Justin Thomas will be there. John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, Justin Rose, Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler, Tommy Fleetwood, Ian Poulter, all those guys will be there at the CJ Cup. Still no announcements from Brooks Koepka that he will be at any of these places, but DJ, Rahm, McIlroy also playing the Zozo. Phil's playing the Zozo, had to get a sponsor exemption. And of course, DJ is a member at Sherwood, so that'll be a little bit of a home track for DJ. Tiger won his World Challenge there 5 times, so some really big names coming up. Basically, we've got Sanderson Farms this week, which is another kind of smaller named field, little less field strength. And then we'll have 2 straight weeks of loaded golf once again before we go to Houston and then Augusta.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you brought it up there, Colby. I think the biggest thing for golf fans going forward, I mean, obviously Tiger's always the biggest headline, but I think if Koepka comes back for the Masters, it's kind of the biggest headline for all of us going forward. Because is that injury so severe that he's skipping major champ? We already seen him skip the U.S. Open for it, so it had to been something that is at least halfway.
Well, he
serious.
Doesn't have a lot of success at the U.S. Open anyway. So
yeah, right. And he's
only
played.
Won 2 of the last 4 now he didn't play this year,
and then finished 2nd or 3rd or whatever when you're out at Pebble Beach.
Yeah, finished 2nd to Woodland at Pebble.
Yeah, so I mean, it goes to show that maybe he's all right and didn't feel confident in his game, whatever it may be. But I think that is the biggest storyline for us golf fans besides Tiger going into this fall is when is Koepka coming back? Is he going to come back for the Masters for the fall, or is he going to skip it and return sometime next year? But one thing I want to ask you about, Colby, have you seen the flyby overhead views of what Augusta looks like right now?
I have.
Well, it's going to look
looks real brown.
It's going to look so much different. I just wonder how much different it's going
to
play.
They said like last week, though, that they were starting the overseeding to green it up.
Okay.
So they're still anticipating it being green 5 weeks from now.
Okay, well, that'd be interesting to see how it turns out. But I mean, that there's a lot of green to come. I mean, obviously, from the aerial views, the greens don't look burned up. The greens look green, but
they got the sub air on the greens. They can keep those good year round.
But you can tell where the greens are because everything else is Brown and yeah. I mean, you know, it's,
I mean, everything else looks like Hefner in January.
It really does, and it's crazy to look at it and see it that way. But that was kind of what I thought noticed to me whenever we're looking forward to Augusta, which is in November, and so I just wonder if those conditions, how much different will it play as compared to it does in April? And I think it's going to be some interesting seeing. Obviously, it's a little bit ways away, so we'll have a lot more time to talk about and hear things come out from around the Georgia area. But at the same time, I think that though, so obviously Tiger being the biggest one, but Koepka going forward on if he's going to play or not, and then obviously like you mentioned, the overseeding with Augusta on if that's going to start greening up and how much different the course will play comparatively, because as we've seen over how many ever years ago, really since it became ever since it opened, Augusta is a horses for courses type of place. So will the fall conditions, will it open up the door for more players, or will it shut the door on more players and even make it a more narrower field than it was before?
I'm just curious to whether Bryce is going to carry two drivers and have one of them be like a 15 degree and just take it over the trees that are next to the tee box on 13, try to drive the green.
He probably will.
Because that'd be brilliant.
I saw a thing that went around where it was someone, it was either a anonymous pro or a caddy or something like that, went around and previewed what Bryson should do on each hole, and it was like he could carry the bunkers on five, which I'm like,
oh god,
like that's like 330 carry, and I'm that would just change, that changes the hole,
make the whole driver wedge.
Yeah, exactly. And with the way that green sloped, and if you can hit a wedge into there and control it on the bowl shape that it is, it's going to be interesting to see if he's able to get around that course. And with how far he hits it, I mean, it's talked about forever that someone who can shape the ball right to left there has a lot better shape. That's why we see, really, since the 2000s, a lot of lefties win there because
Bubba with his big fade.
Well, that's what
Bubba's
it is.
Won it twice.
A lot of players hit fades now because back in the day, you couldn't hit a fade with the Bellotta ball because it spun too much. Now you can hit fades and control it. Well, most people
still get a lot of distance out of it. Exactly. Like DJ plays a fade,
of course, and majority of the players do, just so you can keep it on the planet. And so that's what gives some of those lefties, like you mentioned, Bubba with the big high fade, because you can work it around. Phil is able to do the same thing. And so what is Bryson going to be comfortable getting up there and working a draw? Because there are some holes where it doesn't matter how high you hit it, you can't hit it over some of those trees. And so will he be able to work the ball certain ways, and will he be able to that's the other thing, because we talk about the fall conditions and obviously greening up, but are they going to have the greens rolling at a 14 like they usually do? Are they going to be as fast as they usually are? I do too. And so it'll prove to see if Bryson can, his putter can hold up on those fast greens, and if he's not complaining because there's a 1.5 degree slope and it went the opposite way of what he thought.
Yeah, exactly. Good stuff. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back on the other side. Sanderson Farms Championship this week as the PGA Tour heads to Jackson, Mississippi. All of our picks coming up next. My lineups are loaded. Stay with us here on the 73rd hole.
When something the size of a golf ball hits your roof, you need to call McRae Roofing. McRae Roofing is Oklahoma's designer roofing service specialist. For years, Jeff McRae and the experienced team at McRae Roofing and Exteriors have served fellow Oklahomans by helping them with their roofing needs. McRae Roofing uses only top quality materials and professional crews to make sure that each job is done right, so it will give you the years of service, security, and protection you need from the unpredictable Oklahoma weather. McRae Roofing offers residential and commercial roofing, ventilation services, and custom copper designs. McRae Roofing is dedicated to exceeding the homeowner's expectations. It's not just a roof, it is your home's crowning glory. Call McRae Roofing today at 405-692-4000. That's 405-692-4000. Make sure to also visit their website at mcraeroofing.com. That's M-C-R-A-Y roofing.com. Don't get caught with a leaking roof. Contact McRae Roofing for your free inspection today.
Welcome back in. Rolling along here on a Tuesday, the 73rd hole. Remember to head over to the73rdhole.com. Check it out. Good stuff as we look ahead to the Sanderson Farms Championship this week at Jackson Country Club in Jackson, Mississippi. Sebastian Munoz, defending champion at the Sanderson Farms. So why don't we just start with a little DraftKings action, Taylor, as we give our previews for the week. And I usually start with my most expensive, so why don't we mix it up? Why don't you start this week and give me your most expensive player, and don't let it be the same one I've got
Don't be a copycat. So fire away.
I don't think it will be. I went with more kind of a even playing field lineup. Got a lot of guys who are in the 8,000 range who I think that are going to have a good week this week. So my most expensive guy is actually 9,400. And it is his caddy's friend of a show, Scott Tway. Give me Brian Harmon, 9,400. Short, accurate guy, has been playing pretty well here of late. Finished 38th at the U.S. Open, and then had two top 15 finishes before then. Then even before then had a 27th at Wyndham. And I just think he's starting to find some form. And so I really like that for that value. And unfortunately, last week my guaranteed made cut was Chucky 3-6. He wasn't able to get it done. This week I'm leaning on Brian Harmon, and I think him and Caddy Scott Tway will be able to get it done and get to the weekend, if not on top of the leaderboard.
Yeah, Harmon's played here one time. It was last year. He finished 14th, so must like the course a little bit, you would think. Obviously small sample size, but I actually this was the last player that I picked in my lineup was actually my most expensive, because I was building out the rest of my lineup and then seeing how much I had left. And with the amount of money that I had left, the most expensive player available was Will Zalatoris, who has not finished outside the top 20 anywhere in the world on any tour since February. So I went ahead and decided to run out Will Zalatoris at 10,200. He's played a lot of golf lately. He's played 7 of the last 8 weeks. You go back even further, he's played 9 of the last, 11 weeks? So he's played a lot of golf. I do worry about the fatigue factor setting in, but I also think that, you know, he's playing really good golf, really good. Coming off a Sunday 65, after it did appear that he had a little bit of a U.S. Open hangover early at Punta Cana, he did not break 70 in any of the first 3 rounds and still finished top 10 at Punta Cana. So Will Zalatoris at 10-2 is my most expensive. And then I'm going with a ball-striking machine for my next pick, a guy who has finished top 3 in 2 of his last 3 starts, and that is your boy, the doctor, Doc Redman. Is in the house Clemson at 9,700. So
nice. Yeah. Okay. I like it.
Top 3s, 2 of the last 3 starts. Count me in. Ball striking machine.
Hey, if he finishes top 3 this week, it will be a good pick. So there's no denying that. And so I will go.
A really good pick if he wins. That's really what I'm shooting for.
Man, we give you bright insight here on the 73rd hole. And so my next pick will be in the $8,900 range. And, you know, if I would have picked this guy 3 years ago for $8,900, it would have been the best pick of all time. Had a little bit of slump since he won at Troon, but got a top 25 last week. And I think he's starting to find a little bit of click. So give me Henrik Stenson at 8,900. I think that just for that value in a field that's a little bit smaller strength of field, I think it's a good value guy. Finished top 25 last week. Guy that can get hot and win a tournament if his irons and putter get rolling like they can. So I just think that it was a value I couldn't pass up on.
Yeah, so my next most expensive, my next two guys. Or did you give your second guy?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah,
no,
give me no, snake draft, baby.
Snake drafts. Yep. Hell, all we do is fantasy football anymore, and I forget about that, and that's how you do fantasy football. So my next guy is a guy who you loved last week, Colby, at 8,500, and hopefully you were 1 week early on him. And give me Pat Perez, 8,500.
Little double P?
Double P.
Pat Perez?
I'm going to go off everything that you said last week, Colby. I mean, finished 9th at the Safeway, and whenever you had him this last week, finished 21st, so he didn't win, and you know, obviously in the one and done, he's not going to make a super big check because of the purse size. But for someone who's been playing that well, you know, like I said, and like we just mentioned, in a smaller type of field, and he's a guy who, I mean, we forget about it, Colby. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, maybe 3 years ago now. I mean, he was a top 15 player in the world, and he kind of started losing, maybe starting to get a little bit of it back. And so, especially over these last couple of weeks, I really like what I'm seeing from Perez.
Yeah, well, and especially the hair. The hair's so good. And he actually cut a little bit of it because he said when the wind was off his left, it was blowing the hair into his eyes.
It's kind of hard to hit a ball when you can't see it.
Yeah, your hands can't hit what your eyes can't see.
Very correct.
Goat said that. So, yeah. Where was I at here? 97. I already gave you Doc Redman, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, gave you Doc Redman.
You got to give 2.
Yeah, so Doc Redman, and then my next most expensive is a guy. He's really on form. He's missed 2 cuts in a row, but yeah, a little sarcasm there. But he did miss the cut at this event last year. So, got that going for us, which is nice. But 2 years ago, he finished runner-up on this course. It's a guy by the name of Corey Connors. I'm just going with pure ball strikers. this week.
He is ball striker. Last year, we had brought it up. He had all the analytics said he was more than likely the best ball striker on the whole tour. And so, I mean, it's really hard to go against someone like that. And whenever you're that good a ball striker and you're not winning all the time, there's something else in your game holding you back. So, yes. You know, what exactly is that? Obviously, his putter, short game, all that good stuff. But if he's able to start hitting it to 5 feet every time, then he's going to be there. And so I actually do like that pick as well, Colby. So
I got another one for you. And also with Corey Connors, you know, you've got national pride because Mackenzie Hughes finished third last week. So now Corey Connors, as a Canadian, probably feels the need to go ahead and get himself a top three finish to match what Mackenzie Hughes did a week ago.
I think that's exactly what it is. I think every week they probably have a pool of all the Canadian golfers and is who does
probably it. Everybody puts $100 in, winner take all.
And I think that one week that Graham Dillette hit the one-handed chip, they had the bet of who would hit the best one-handed chip from around the green, and Graham Dillette probably took that pot home.
You got to have some serious yips to break out a one-handed chip in a PGA Tour event.
It's something that it's...
And chipped it to an inch, by the way. But that's not the point.
He didn't even need to go get his putter. I mean,
he walked out and tapped it in with the wedge.
I mean,
but that's not the point.
That is not the point. It's the point of that you had to... We went down a rabbit hole with the Canadians, and you're talking about another great ball striker. That's one thing, too. A slight rabbit hole here, Colby, before we do it. And so, you know, we talk about golf and Dustin Johnson, Paulina Gretzky, Wayne Gretzky, trying to connect it all together. And Jamie Sadlowski, one of the long drive hitters, plays a lot of hockey. The reason I'm bringing this up is it seems like hockey players tend to be really good ball strikers and are able to put a lot of pop behind. I'm not sure exactly what it is. I try to study a little bit up on it, on exactly kind of the form and all that. And you kind of see with Dillette, whenever, at least when he was at his prime, he kind of came through and would hold the shots off almost like it was a hockey puck, where he would just turn his body through so much and hold that right wrist through. So, in all honesty, it's kind of hard to do here around Oklahoma. There is a little bit of it, but if you want your kids to be a good golfer, get them into hockey too, because it leads to not only good ball striking, but Sadlowski's like 5'9", 160 or whatever, and one of the longest drivers of the golf ball in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. So, by the way, your strategy to take guys in the 8,000s this week, it's just a terrible strategy. I'm skipping the 8,000s altogether. I think basically anybody who rosters a single golfer in the 8,000s is probably a chump and is probably just donating their money to the pool this week. So I appreciate your donation. All these names in the 8,000s are just, you know, I mean Sergio, hard pass on Siwoo Kim, Carlos Ortiz. I mean, all he's done is finish top five here the last 2 years. So I'm going to stay away from those guys. I'm going to skip those guys, and we're going to go down to the 7,000s. And we're going to go way down in the 7,000s because my next most expensive player is at 7,300, ranked eighth last year in strokes and approach the green. That is Cameron Tringali. So give me
Cameron Tringali.
What, ball striker.
Yeah, right there. He's made a lot of cuts. What do you say?
15 of his last 19 cuts for Cameron Tringali. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, he's a guy that goes really under the radar. Me and my dad were actually talking about him the other day. And, I mean, we pull up some of his finishes here. Missed the cut last week, but finished 29th at the Northern Trust. Finished third at the 3M, probably, what is that, 2 months ago now. And then, you know, it seems to be a hit or miss. It's almost like every other week he's a made cut, missed cut. And he missed the cut last time he played, Colby. So I think that this is when he's due.
He's played here three times, has not missed the cut.
That's a positive sign.
I like that. A 7,300.
Very positive sign. I like that. And, you know, I don't have him in our lineup this week. Like I said, I just had so many guys in the 8,000s. Guy, friend of the show, $100 more than him on DraftKings, Taylor Gooch, 7,400. Another good play out there. So just want to throw him out. But just because I wasn't able to fit him into the lineup. But the next guy on my lineup, Colby, you actually mentioned him just a second ago. And give me Carlos Ortiz at 8,300. Like you said, finished top five here 2 years in a row. And let me pull these.
Love to have been able to fit him in.
And he, you know, he made the cut last week, 46, finished 25th at the BMW. Before that, really went particularly well. But guy who is a horses for courses, and I think he was the last guy that I had picked in my lineup, because the other guys that I had, I'm actually feeling pretty high on this week. And so then my next cheapest guy is $100 cheaper than him. So my fifth cheapest guy is $8,200 to show.
In the 8,000s, and I skipped them all together. This will be a perfect case study of whether you should build your DraftKings lineup in the middle or at the top and the bottom.
Yes, and you should take 1 week's result to do every single lineup for the rest of eternity.
Exactly, because you can apply the results from 1 week and basically make a logical conclusion that is how it will play out every week.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, that's how it should be done. Asterisk, complete sarcasm there. So my next guy, $100 cheaper. You're not going to believe it, Colby, because I've only picked him like eight times this year. Give me Patrick Rogers, $8,200.
Oh. Patrick Rogers, he finished 11th last week, so that was a good pick on your last place DraftKings team from a week ago.
It made up for my first place the week before that. Had I entered the millionaire, I probably would have come home with at least a few hundred dollars. But yeah, so you win some, you lose some. And the problem was that in our little pool that we do, I think 65% of people or whoever had him. So yikes. more than half of the teams in our little pool had him. So top 11 finish only gets you so far when everyone else has him. And while I got it here, Colby, I think you got two more to give. I'll go ahead and give my cheapest guy. I can't remember. I think you had him last week, Colby, Anirban Lahiri.
I did have Anirban Lahiri a week ago, and he played well.
Yep, 6,700 here on DraftKings. He was a guy, too, very, very similar to Perez in the aspect of he wasn't up to top 15 in the world, but he was a top 30 or 40 player in the world at one point and then instead start to lose his game a little bit.
He was good enough. Do you remember the little deal they used to do down at, like, Albany and stuff where they would hop from course to course and Tiger would play? Anirban Lahiri was in some of those fields. I'm trying to remember. It wasn't like a sanctioned event or anything. I'm trying to remember what it was. Do you remember that at all, vaguely?
No,
bouncing
I don't.
Around in the Bahamas no, at Albany and stuff like
you
that.
You may be thinking of Arjun Atwal, too. You may be getting them mixed up. I don't know if you are or not.
Thought Anirban Lahiri played in some of those, but maybe I could be.
He may have because he did go through that stretch, but Atwal was the same way. They're both from India, that's why, and their names are very familiar, which might be why you're doing it. Lahiri was a guy who he came out firing probably, I'd have to pull it exactly, I think it was about 3 years ago now, and probably right around the same stretch, he won two or three events on the European Tour and then had...
Really good ball striker.
Great ball striker, phenomenal ball striker, really good swing too, and so he started to lose his game a little bit, but... Like I said, he finished sixth last week, Colby, and then before that finished 36th at the Safeway. So two straight made cuts for a guy who, looking back on it, he really had only played one time over here across the pond since the Corona hiatus, and he missed the cut at the Wyndham. So since then, has made two cuts. So for 6,700 in a smaller type field, I'm going to go ahead and roster that. For a guy who finished sixth last week, sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, my second cheapest guy is a guy I gave you last week as a long shot at 110-1, just playing really steady golf, and that's Cameron Percy, Safeway a few weeks ago, 23rd, 8th last week in Punta Cana, and he's played this event five times, and he's only missed the cut once, and it was his first trip to Jackson, Mississippi back in 2015. 11th place here last year, ball striker playing really well, so I like Cameron Percy again this week, just like I did last week. And then my cheapest guy, and I'm still trying to do the math and trying to figure out how they've got him down at 6,300. It's Wesley Bryan.
I thought about it. I thought about him.
He's so cheap. He allowed me to get some of these guys at the top. He allowed me to get Zalatoris, Redmond, and Connors because 6,300, I almost never go that cheap on the DraftKings rankings because usually you just get so much volatility and unpredictability that low. But 6,300 for a guy like Wesley Bryan, who typically makes the cut, he's from South Carolina, he likes golf in the Southeast, he's comfortable on those kinds of grasses, so I like Wesley Bryan at 6,300, so I'm all in there. So quick rundown of my full lineup here, let me pull it back up. So at 10-2, I've got Will Zalatoris, Doc Redmond, Corey Connors, Cameron Tringali, Cameron Percy, the week of the Camerons, and then Wesley Bryan at 6,300 to round it all out.
Yeah, no, I like that lineup, Colby. And then I'll read off some of the other guys who I kind of wanted to get into my lineup but just wasn't able to. I'll go off a few. I already mentioned Gooch at 7,400. Guy who I pick all the time at 7,200, Ventura. He's right at the same price as Cameron Percy. I'd probably lean more towards your Percy pick than Ventura, but if for any reason you can fit both of them in there, I think those are two pretty decent value picks. Another guy in the 8,000s who's been playing pretty well who almost made the cut for my lineup and didn't, that's Emilio on Agrillo, who has finished 21st last week, finished 29th at the Safeway, 44th at the Northern Trust, and then finished 6-6 PGA Championship. Then before that, had two top 10 finishes, finished 3rd at the 3M.
One of those was opposite field, wasn't it?
Yes, it was at Barracuda. Okay, yeah. But still, you know, top 10 finish.
Still, yeah, played good golf that week.
You're having to get the ball in the hole. And so I think that's another guy who, if you're looking to build around, some of those other guys you mentioned, like, for example, like Sergio, I'm probably going to stay away from Sergio this week.
I say just stay miles away from Sergio would be my advice.
I mean, 8,600 price, that just doesn't sound like a good value for me. And then one other guy I like, Colby, is a guy who you had a few weeks ago, been playing really well. And I believe I even had him last week. Charlie Hoffman at 7,900, I think, is a good value too. Yeah. I finished 14th the week before, and then we talked about finished 13th at the Northern Trust a few months ago. Finished 7th at the Workday. So a guy who it fits in the mold of a lot of these players that we're bringing up. And then the last other guy before I find him lineup, Colby, is a guy who you really liked last week and had the first round lead after the first day was Sepp Straka at 7,700.
Oh my gosh, I was so optimistic after round one. I had him at 40-1.
Man, you know that guys that lead after the first round hardly ever win.
You can't. Go
wire
door.
Damn
it, if he could have played some decent golf, what did he even end up finishing? He finished T33. Get out of here, Seb. T33 after you were first round leader. I can't even have my hopes up the rest of the week. Very disappointing. Yeah, look at this garbage. Look at this trash. He shot 7-under the first day, and he finished the tournament 7-under. Garbage. Never rostering him again anywhere.
You are the type to hold grudges, Colby, so I do think that you would probably never pick him again. So, and for all you guys out there, go bet Seb Straka because he's due this week.
And he's from Austria. I'm never traveling to Austria now.
Man, I'm not sure what all they're...
My parents have been to Vienna and said it was wonderful. Also, supposed to be some great skiing in Austria, so I take that back. I might go to Austria, but never again will I roster Seb Straka.
Yeah, you have to limit there what you break down. Just because you're holding a grudge doesn't mean you have to hold a grudge against the country, Colby.
Yeah, okay. I'm with you there.
So I'll read off my full lineup. Brian Harman, 9,400. Henrik Stenson, 8,900. Perez, 8,500. Ortiz, 8,300. Patrick Rogers, 8,200. Anibal Lahiri, 6,700.
Good stuff. I think we got some loaded lineups. Some of my best bets this week. I'm fading everybody at the top. It's the winners the last 2 weeks. Not the last 2 weeks, because 2 weeks ago was the U.S. Open. But the winner at the Safeway and the winner at Punta Cana were both 200-1. I think in tournaments like this, you're way better off to just take a couple flyers on some long shots. So the only guy I'm betting that's better than 90-1 odds is Doc Redman. I'm going to put 10 on Doc Redman at 33-1. I think he is due. He's a really good ball striker. If the putts go in, he's got a really good chance to win the tournament this week. And then I'm just going to run out a couple long shots and see what happens. I'm putting 10 on Cameron Tringali, who's a really good ball striker, 90-1. So you're risking 10 to win 900. Now, these guys are long shots for a reason. Chances are these guys aren't going to cash, but if you can hit the right long shot, it can turn into a good week. Cameron Percy was a long shot I liked last week. Cameron Percy's a long shot I like this week. He's 110-1 again, so I'm putting $10 on him to win 1,100. And then I'm just going to take a super long shot at 250-1 with a guy who's played well at this course in the past. He actually won on this course a few years back. Not in the best of form right now, but maybe he goes back to a place where he's won, gets some good feelings, starts striking it, and makes some putts. Ryan Armour is 250-1. So risk 10 to win 2,500. I'm in on that. And then I'm going to do just kind of a weird bet this week. I'm going to run out Chase Seifert as first round leader at 150-1, which is something that I don't usually do, and it's kind of weird, but hear me out here. So in second round scoring average, he ranks 168th. Third round scoring average, he ranks 158th. Final round scoring average, he ranks 125th. First round scoring average on Thursdays, he ranks 6th on the PGA Tour in opening round scoring average. I mean, he's a Thursday hero. So in a weak field like this, 150-1, why not?
No, I mean, and you know, first round, it's an absolute crapshoot. Just who can make the putts
total
on a given day.
But last week was Sepp Straka and Scott Harrington, both at 7-under.
Exactly.
So, who knows?
So you just never know. So many great players out there, and we talk about it, Colby, where in the analytics, you know, the start of everything is so important. But if you play second, third, and fourth round outside the top 150 or whatever, you're only going to get so far.
125th in final round, and he's outside the top 150 in second and third round. So it's the only reason he's even getting to play a third and fourth round is because he's so good in the first round.
It's cash and checks. It's better than being 120th and 150th because you wouldn't be getting to the weekend.
Trivia, where did Chase Seifert go to college?
Oh my God, how do I not know this?
They talked about it extensively when he was in contention at, might have been Travelers, something like that.
I'm going to dry myself nuts because it's one of those on the tip of your tongue. I have no idea.
They kept talking about how he went to the same university as one Brooks Koepka.
Oh, Florida State.
Florida State. Chase Seifert. Seminole.
I don't know if I would have guessed that. I thought it was somewhere.
Speaking of college football teams who need to get their act together. God.
Man, we talk bad about OU. Florida State there. I mean, they were contending for national titles for 30 straight years.
They won a national title 8-9 years ago when Jameis was there.
Yeah, and then they won in 99. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy what's going on down there. We could get down, but they do have a phenomenal golf program, and so just Daniel Cheeseburger came from there along with Koepka, and so they got all kinds of names.
Daniel Cheeseburger sounds good right now.
It does, doesn't it?
I had a real light lunch. I think we're having some pasta for dinner, so I'm a little on edge. We're recording in the afternoon, which we don't usually do. I got the hunger going on this afternoon.
You're a little hangry.
Let's do this. Let's visit the doctor as we go to our one and done picks. That's a hint. In both pools, podcast, and on the website, running out a guy that I think might be somewhat used, but not overly used, because it's not like Scheffler at the top of the field that a lot of people are still going to have. Give me Doc Redman. I think he's close, Taylor. Two top threes in his last three starts. I think he's just this close. You can't see this on the podcast. I'm holding my thumb and index finger about a centimeter apart. He's about this close to breaking through and winning on the PGA Tour. This week is the week in Mississippi. I'm betting him. I've got him in DraftKings. I'm using him in the one-and-done pool. That means he's cursed, but he's still going to win. Let's do it.
He does have the ultimate curse of all time, but everything on paper sounds good, and I do like the Doc Redman pick. And I'm doing the same as you, Colby, not with the pick, but going with the same in the office football and the and our pool. I probably would have went different in the big pool, but there's a function on your one-and-done pools. If you do it on office football pool, you can go in and check, and you can see what percentage of golfers have been picked from everyone in your pool.
Right.
And I've seen that a fair amount of people have already picked Scheffler, so I'm going to go ahead and run him out in both of them. What are his odds?
There were some idiots like me who picked him whenever he missed the cut before he started playing good golf. So a lot of idiots have used him already in our pool, myself included.
Well, and you know, you catch form, you don't, and he is coming off of a positive COVID test, so we don't necessarily know what's been going on behind the scenes with Scheffler. Right. But do you have the odds in front of you, Colby, for the tournament?
For Scotty Scheffler, yes, he is the odds-on favorite. I just had it, and it went away. I can get back to it pretty quick. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he was the odds-on favorite.
He's the most expensive on DraftKings by far.
Yeah, I mean, some of these guys up top, so Scheffler's 9-1 is what I'm showing here? That doesn't sound right, but I mean, some of the guys at the top.
That sounds like probably comparable. I mean, at least what I thought it would be. Yeah. I mean,
10-1 is what I'm showing him at. Next best would have been Louis, of course, Louis W. Deed. And then another big name at the top that we haven't talked about yet. I mean, a ball striking machine, but just hadn't played good golf since the restart. Sung J.M.
I know. We went through this whole show and not talked about him in a field like this. It's pretty interesting. And so, you know, we go through, you have the full odds.
Well, because we usually talk about a lot of value, and he's a name who played really well before the restart. So he's 12-1 here. In DraftKings, he's 10,500. You're not getting good value on him anywhere. If you could get him at 9,500 in DraftKings, maybe. If you could get him at 22-1, maybe. But there's just no value in him in this tournament.
No, it's not. And even if, like I said, I just don't think that he doesn't have the form, and he hasn't shown anything to make you pick him to want to win. And I mean, if you still have him in your one and done pools and want to use him, that wouldn't be the worst pick of all time. But I do think
because it's still a good player in a weak field.
Exactly, absolutely, and can come through and can catch form any time. And he was a top 15 machine there for however long. So you got to think it's got to come back sooner rather than later. But definitely. Like you said, Colby, the value is just, it's just not there. And whenever you're dealing with stuff like this, not only do you have to evaluate the talent, but you have to evaluate what you're having to put in to get back in return when there's a lot of not necessarily better options, but there's, I guess, less volatility, I guess, would be the way to say it. Yes,
100%.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Sungjae could win this tournament, and we could come in next Monday and be like, you know what? He was the best player in the field. That's not shocking at all. He got it together. Or he can miss the cut, and we can sit here on Monday and go, yeah, he's just not in form. He just doesn't have it right now for whatever reason. So, to me, I'm kind of out on that. That's too much stress to my life for a tournament in Jackson, Mississippi.
Absolutely. Whenever you're at a place to where, like you just said, we could come back on Monday and not be shocked either way if he won the tournament or if he missed the cut, that's when you know you're at a complete wild card stage. And for it to be over 10,000 in DraftKings, and what'd you say his odds were, 11-1 this week?
12-1 is what I'm showing here.
12-1. I mean, unless you're going to get over 20-1, I don't think there's a reason to bet. I mean, and who knows? He could come out and win. Golf tournaments can be, like I said, two of the last three winners were 200-1. So, I mean, guys come out of nowhere. And so, hopefully, if anyone does, it's a friend of the show, Taylor Gooch, or a friend of the Brian Harmon, who's not as low of a dog just because he's had a little bit more success at this course.
Yeah, multi-time PGA Tour winner, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, hopefully one of our guys, friend of the show, break through. Rian Gibson, friend of the show, had a top 25 last week.
Yeah.
I
think he finished the same spot as Pat Perez, my pick last week, yeah, T21.
T21, so. Yep. So, yeah. had a good day there and had it rolling on Friday or Saturday, I believe, one of the mid-round.
I think it was Saturday because I think he just barely made the cut and then he shot like a 64 on Saturday.
I think you're right. Yeah. He either got hot Friday or Saturday, but I think it was Saturday when he did it. So great job out there to you, Rian.
Anybody can get hot, it's Rian.
There's no doubt about
hashtag
that.
#55.
#55. And so hopefully some of our friends of the show can go out there and get it done. But that's going to be our main rooting interest. And we're not far away from these bigger tournaments, the Zozo Championship or Cup.
CJ Cup next week, Zozo Championship the following week.
Then
Houston, then Augusta.
Then we have, where's the Shriners at in there?
Oh, hell, I forgot the Shriners.
There's a Shriners in there.
Shriners might be next week. I might have screwed up.
I think you might. We might have a. I think we missed a week in there. I think it goes Shriners.
Then. I totally forgot about the Shriners. I was doing it off the top of my head instead of having it pulled up. Shriners is next week at TP Summerlin in Vegas. Kevin Na, Patrick Cantlay had the pretty good showdown last year.
Kevin Na made, what, 560 feet of putts or something ridiculous?
Right. Well, because
set the tournament record.
Right, because myself and your dad had money on Cantlay, so it was only natural that Kevin Na just made everything that he looked at.
Slightly funny, we were at a Buffalo Wild Wings when there was all kinds of NFL games going on.
Packers Cowboys was that day, and we made him turn the TV on to the freaking, what, the Shriners Hospital for Children
over. And we had some people come over, and they're like, why the hell are y'all cheering so much? Y'all got money on Cantlay or something? We were like, we damn sure do.
Absolutely.
We do. Because, I mean, he would make a putt, and he'd miss a putt. Ah, damn it. Ah, man. Ah.
Well, wife, your girlfriend, it was a Sunday evening. They had to work the next day, so they wanted to go home. And then they kept going into playoff holes. And so we ended up being there till 8 o'clock. And then
because we had already played golf in the early afternoon that day.
Yeah, we played the trails that day down in Norman.
Yeah. And so we had a great day of golf. Great day for men, maybe not for the women. But but I will remember that to this day where we had all kinds of football going on and people were in there watching. And anytime someone missed a putt, we yelled louder than anyone else in there did. And there was Cowboy fans all over the place too.
Bright.
So it was pretty classic. And so yeah, we'll always remember that for that tournament. But yeah, so we'll have Shriners, then
Shriners, then the CJ Cup, which is at Shadow Creek in Vegas. The following week will be the Zozo, which is at Sherwood.
And that's when Tiger's playing. That's our next Tiger appearance.
Yes. Yes. And then we have the Bermuda Championship, which I also forgot about. I shouldn't have done this off the top of my head because I totally screwed the pooch. So then we'll have the Bermuda Championship the following week. The following week we'll have Houston. The following week we'll have the Masters.
So what is the official, when's the Sunday Augusta? What's the date?
Sunday Augusta. So it starts on Thursday the 12th. Sunday Augusta is November 15th.
Okay.
So that's what
we are about a little bit a month and a half away from Augusta, which is we're in September, and we were talking about fantasy football before we got on this podcast. And so it's weird to be talking about fantasy football and Augusta at the same time.
Yes. It's also weird that the next two majors are going to be played at Augusta.
I didn't even think about that until you just said. I had thought about the fact of that we're going to have two Masters in a 6 month span, but I had never considered the fact that they're going to be back to back. They're going to be the back to back. That's crazy.
It's awesome.
Hopefully it's Tiger putting on two more green jackets. Or I guess it'd be the chairman putting them on.
How does that work? Does he put the green jacket on himself in that situation?
No, it's the chairman. Gosh dang it, we did it last time too and forgot it. Whoever the new chairman's name is. Gosh dang it,
Ridley.
That's exactly it. Ridley. Yep.
Is it Fred? Fred Ridley?
I think that is.
Yeah, sounds right.
Yeah.
Somebody tell us if it's wrong, but I think that's right.
Yeah, and so the chairman puts it on if you're the defending champ. So hopefully in April 2021, Tiger is getting number 17 handed to him by Mr. Ridley himself.
That'd be nice. That'd be sweet.
I'm not counting on it, but it would be nice, yes.
I'm not either, but it would be a lot of fun. Everybody enjoy Sanderson Farms this week. Enjoy watching a little golf down in Jackson, Mississippi. Sebastian Munoz defending, Doc Redman soon to be defending. Good stuff today. Check it out, 73rdhole.com. We're back next week to preview TPC Summerlin, where Kevin Na defends. So everybody enjoy your week. Thanks for listening to the 73rd Hole.